There's nothing that God will not do for you. There's nothing that God will not do for you. He gave his life. He loves you. There's more going on in life around us than what we see with our physical eyes. There are pressures, there are challenges, there are oppositions. And I want to talk for a little while about the battle that we have. The battle that we have between the flesh and the spirit. And the surroundings going on around us. We're in a battle. Today I'll start a new series entitled Preparing for Victory. But we've got to know that there's an enemy that's after you. There's an enemy that tries to bring you down. Now I'll get into the encouraging part in a moment. But I believe that we first must know that there is an enemy who is after you. The things that you face, the oppositions that you face, the challenges that you face, the things in your life that you struggle with day in and day out, there's a real enemy for your soul. And it seems like some people come to me and say, well, Pastor Mike, it seems like the closer I draw to the Lord, the worse the devil fights me. Yes, yes, you're right. The last thing the devil wants you to do is to draw closer to the Lord. But the power of God is greater than the power of your enemy. Jesus paid the price for your victory. He paid the price for your success. He paid the price so that you would overcome. You've been made more than a conqueror. That's what the Bible says. More than a conqueror. Just as the men and women defend our country each and every day, there's a preparation process that they went through in order to qualify to be able to protect you and I. Aren't you glad they didn't just walk into an office one day and say, I'm here to protect our country? But there was a process. There's a preparing process. In Ephesians 6:12, and we'll pray after this, Ephesians 6:12 says, for we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. Let's pray. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you, Lord, for your awesome anointing and your awesome presence today. I thank you, Lord, for the plans that you have for each one of us. Plans to give us life and hope, to succeed and to walk into victorious living through you. Lord, I pray that you anoint my lips today, that I speak your words, and we listen and we follow after you in Jesus' name. Amen. Today, Crystal and I celebrate 35 years of marriage. Crystal looks younger today than she looked the first day I saw her walking in that Brunswick High School homeroom class. The fire that I looked across that night when I was 14 years old and she was 16, as our two youth groups came together at Laurel Walker Park, I was asked by my youth pastor to bring a guitar and leave a couple of songs, and lo and behold, she walked around the back side of that fire, and that's all I can remember. It was a little redhead walking. And she looks younger today than she did then. 35 years. Actually, that was 39 years ago. I can't believe how time flies. But we feel young, we feel vibrant, we feel excited. I told someone earlier today that there's no trophy big enough to give her today. They don't make trophies that big, but she deserves a big one. Amen. 35 years. But in that, we made it today in victory, and we're here in 35 years and looking forward to the next 35 years, God willing, that she can tell you that there were times of adversity, there were times of challenges, there were times of situations that we had to make a determination in our hearts to push through. Now, we counsel a fair number of couples getting ready to get married, and one thing that we tell them is to throw out the D word. Just toss the D word out. The D word is divorce. In other words, just throw that out. Once that word is out of the picture, then you know you've either got to make it through alive or die. You're going to make it one way or another. And so as you face the challenges in life, you know that as a Christian, we throw out the Q word, quit. We refuse to quit, but we decide to press in. Yes, you face adversity. I'm going to talk about that. We face challenges. We face difficult times, but you press through anyway because the power of God is stronger than the opposition that you face. The power of God is greater. The devil comes to discourage you. The devil comes to take your eyes off of your goal, off of what he knows that you are capable of. And so the angel that God created to be in heaven with him, to be there as one of the angels in heaven, he came that he would discourage you, that he thought he was greater than God. He challenged God, and his goal was to overcome God. So we know that if it was possible, if it were possible for the devil to overthrow God, it would happen at that moment. And so God in his great power, he overthrew the devil. Now some will say, well, why didn't he go ahead and annihilate him and destroy him so we'd be done with him and we wouldn't have to worry about the devil today? Well, I believe that the devil is here. God is allowing the devil to move and roam around so that we will know that the great power that he faced and overcame, that we can also face and overcome through the power of God. And many times we forget that we have the power of God. We try to face the devil in our own intellect, our own thoughts, our own abilities, our own strength. We become tired and weary. And the Bible says not to become tired and in well-doing, weary in well-doing. Why? Because he's given us the power to overcome and to conquer that the devil brings in our path. So there is no greater power than the power of God. 1 Peter 5:8 says, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, let's speak it to each one of us. Your adversary, the devil, walks around like a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. See, the devil can't devour everybody. He seeks whom he may devour. So what qualifies you to not be devoured by the devil? One thing, the power of God, the blood of Jesus Christ in your life. And so by you walking in that, as you believing in Jesus Christ, as you walking with him, you do not qualify to be devoured by the devil. So he moves beyond you and he looks for someone else that is not carrying the power and the blood of Jesus Christ. And so he's trying to trip you up. He's trying to take you out. That's the devil's goal. Now, I'm going to get to some encouraging parts here, but the Bible takes time to describe the devil. So we're not giving any glory to the devil this morning, but we need to be aware that we have an enemy. So just as the Word of God tells us about our enemy, we also need to be aware of it. Not to bring our focus to him, but to be aware of him, and to know that we have power to conquer him and all that he brings into our life. Now, one scripture you don't have, you can make note of, is James 4:7. James 4:7 says that we can resist the devil and he'll flee. But there's a prerequisite to that, and that is, it says, therefore submit to God. Period. Resist the devil and he'll flee. So the qualification that we have to meet is to come into unity, come into agreement with God. He's already paid the price. Now we've got to do our part to come into unity and to agreement with him. And when we do that, we can speak the same words that Jesus spoke and have the same power that Jesus had when he spoke those words. Preparing ourselves for victory. We have the victory, but what do we need to do? What do we need to be aware of in order to conquer the devil, our enemy? Well, God, it says in the Bible, God created the angel, the devil. The devil thought that he was smarter than God. He was more powerful than God, so he challenged God. It says in Ezekiel 28, we'll read a few verses here in Ezekiel 28:12. It says, and the son of man take up a lamentation for the king of Tyre and say to him, thus says the Lord God. This is where the Lord God describes the devil. He says in verse 12 of Ezekiel 28, you are the seal of perfection, full of wisdom and perfect in beauty. You were in Eden, the garden of God. Every precious stone was your covering. The sardius, topaz, and diamond, beryl, onyx, and jasper, sapphire, turquoise, and emerald with gold. The workmanship of your timbrels and pipes was prepared for you on the day you were created. Stunning beauty. The Bible leads us to believe that the devil was the most beautiful angel ever created. In verse 14, tells us that the devil occupied a very high place of honor in heaven. It says, you were the anointed cherub who covers, he guarded the throne of God. I established you, God says. I established you. You were on the holy mountain of God. You walked back and forth in the midst of fiery stones. You were perfect in your ways from the day you were created. But then look, the next words followed. Till iniquity was found in you. Till iniquity, imperfection, evil was found in you. In verse 16 of Ezekiel 28, it says, by the abundance of your trading, you became filled with violence within, and you sinned. Therefore, I, God, cast you as a profane thing out of the mountain of God, and I destroyed you, O covering cherub. From the midst of the fiery stones, your heart was lifted up because of your beauty. In other words, the devil's beauty went to his head. He became arrogant and proud. You corrupted your wisdom for the sake of your splendor. I cast you to the ground. And Isaiah 14, verses 13 and 14 says, for you have said in your heart, speaking of the devil, you've said in your heart, I will ascend into heaven. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will also sit on the mount of the congregation on the fair sides of the north. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will be like the Most High. So see, the devil has taken it upon himself to be greater than God. He became arrogant. He saw that his beauty was so great that he could be bigger and more mighty than God. So he challenges God. And pride fills his heart, the Bible says. And God cast him down. And so God has chose to allow the devil to still rule and reign. There will come a time to where the devil will be completely gone. There will come a time, and we read about that in Revelation. But prior to that time, as we live on earth, the devil is still roaming around. And we'll look at some characteristics in just a few moments of the devil that the Bible gives us. But the Lord wants us to know that the power, the great same power that he has, and Jesus said, greater things you will do than I did. That means that you can confront the devil and you can conquer the devil, all of his tricks, all of his trades, and all the things that he tries to oppress you with. God is greater. And so there are five facts, I believe, about angels that I'd like for us to be aware of. Angels don't have physical bodies. They're spiritual beings. God created these angels, but they're physical beings. Now, an angel can take on the form of a body, but God created them to be spiritual beings and not to have physical bodies. Angels do not have a soul like you and I have. They don't have a soul to where they can be saved and receive salvation and go to heaven with us. They're there to serve God. And angels are not capable of salvation, as I just said. There's some things that angels do not know about our relationship with God that they desire to know. The Bible speaks of that in 1 Peter, that they long to see us, they long to know us, they long to know who we are and how we relate to God, but they're unable to do that. There are aspects of God's glory angels cannot comprehend or understand. They just aren't able to understand. They were not created like us. And the angels don't know everything. They learn what they know by God, by the Spirit of God, by God working in and through us. They know how God works with us, and the angels learn that to work the same way. The devil was an angel. And the devil became arrogant in his own way, as I've already said, but God is greater than the devil. But if we were to compare the devil to God, if we were to compare the two, the devil was created, God has always been. God created the devil, but God always has been. The Bible says, I am that I am. He is. Then, now, everything in between, before man, after man. The devil's power is limited. The devil can only do so much, but God's power is unlimited. There's nothing that God cannot do. The devil does not know everything. You say, well, the devil knows this thing about me. What's interesting is about the devil, he picks up our mannerisms. The devil has been studying us, humankind, for a long, long time. And so the devil can guess at certain things that we do or say or the way we act. So the devil does not know what we're thinking unless we say it. The devil has good ears, but he doesn't know what's in our mind. God, on the other hand, knows what's in our mind, in our heart, in our spirit. See, that's why God said to David, you're a man after my own heart. I love you, David. Why? Because it wasn't from David's actions, it was from David's heart. So the devil doesn't know everything. The devil is limited on his knowledge. He only knows what you tell him. That's why you got to be careful what you say. Because not only are you defiling yourself, defiling who you're speaking to, but then you're also, we speak things out and the devil picks up on some. And so the devil can't forecast. We see palm readers here and there, and you say, wow, I need to go see a palm reader for my future. As I said, the devil only knows what he can guess. He can kind of forecast, you know. It's kind of like our weathermen, our weather ladies. They can forecast, but we'll know in 30 minutes it could totally change, right? And so the devil tries to forecast so people make money by reading the palm of your hands and saying, well, that's going to happen to you, and they may guess right and they may not guess right. The devil doesn't know everything. But God knows everything. He knows the past, the present, the future, for you and for me. God knows all of it. So there is no comparison between the devil and God. There's no comparison. The devil wanted to measure up to God. He wanted to do what God is doing. The devil can only be in one place at a time. Say, the devil's on my trail. No, the devil probably isn't, but he's got one of his little minions on your trail. But God can be everywhere all at once. Isn't that awesome? As Crystal told a while ago about her praying, I physically saw just immediately as we were riding down the road when she said, God, Lord, I pray. And immediately I saw heaven just turn toward her at attention as though they were listening to every word she was saying, looking straight at her and taking everything that she said, even every breath, unto what she wanted in her heart. So God, he's everywhere. He's with you. He's with me. He's anywhere he's invited to be. You say, well, I don't feel God is with me. I don't feel like he's with me. But if it's in your heart that God go with you, he said he will always be with you to never leave you nor forsake you. Do we take that as truth? Absolutely. That's the truth of God, that he will never leave us. And so I think names are important. Names in the Bible are important. And every minister in the gospel in the Bible, every person was given a name, and in their name is given a description. It tells about their character. And so the Bible has taken time to place names on the devil. The first name that the Bible refers to as the devil is Satan. Satan is given the name that was given by God. It's a Hebrew word for adversary, used 52 times in the Bible. 52 times in the Bible, Satan is used. Satan is the adversary of God. He's the adversary of angels, adversary of God's plan. Anything connected to God, Satan is an adversary too. You are a child of God, he's an adversary to you. The second name given in the Bible is the devil, used 37 times in the New Testament, first mentioned in Matthew 4. The devil tempted Jesus. He didn't succeed, but he tempted Jesus. If he's going to tempt Jesus, he's going to tempt us. He slanders the work of God. He's called a serpent. He's called a dragon. Called a roaring lion. Called the evil one. Called the accuser. Serpent, dragon, roaring lion, evil one, accuser. Accuser, he is continually before God trying to downplay what God is doing in your life. Do you see what they're doing? Do you see? They don't deserve anything. They don't deserve your blessing. Can you see what they're doing? So the devil is always accusing. Have you ever been accused of something you didn't do? So the devil is always accusing something that either you didn't do or he's making things up trying to convince God to not allow you to receive his blessing. He's an accuser. He's also called the father of lies. Now, this is a big one because there's many times that you and I go through a day that we listen to the lies more than what we listen to the truth. And so the truth of God's word is here. We've got to be careful what we listen to. I've had people tell me, Pastor Mike, I don't know why the devil is telling me the things that he's telling me. What do you expect him to tell you? The devil only speaks lies. There is nothing truthful, there's nothing good that the devil speaks to you that will give you life. He wants to bring deception into your life. He wants to bring death to your life. He wants to bring you disobedient to God. He wants to cause you to doubt God. He wants to cause you to doubt his word. Well, what if I'm paying for things that I did 25 years ago? I've had people say, well, I feel like I'm paying for things that I did 25 years ago, so I'm just going to pay the price. No, he wouldn't have sent, Jesus Christ wouldn't have sent Jesus to lay down his life for the forgiving of your sins if he was going to cause you to pay for your own sins. So we take many times the lies of the devil, listen to the lies of the devil, and we take that as truth and we base our life on that, and there's no substance, there's no foundation to it whatsoever. The only foundation we have to live is in the Word of God. It's what God says about you. It's what he says about you. It's your future is in God's hands, not in the devil's hands. So he's the father of lies. John 4:4 says, you are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because he who is in you is greater than the one who's in the world. So there is one in the world, but the one that abides in you, Jesus Christ, the Bible says that he is greater in you than the one that is in the world. The one that is causing the lies, the one that is causing the deception. But we are constantly living in a spiritual warfare. If you feel discouraged every single day, if you feel like you're in a battle every single day, it is true, we are in a battle. But we're not to live life subject to the battle. We're not to live life condemned or defeated by the battle. There's a way that we can live every single day. We can conquer the things in our life and we can overcome those things rather than going around and around every single day trying to fight the same battle. We get up tomorrow morning, we fight the battle we fought yesterday. We get up next Saturday, we fought the battle we fought a week ago. And to the point to where we're years into this thing and we're fighting the same battle today that we were fighting 10 years ago. We don't have to do that. There is victory in living for God. We need to be aware that there's a devil, that you have an adversary. We need to be aware that there's a battle going on. But we also need to be more aware and focused on the power of God, that he is greater. That's what I want to bring about in this series. David had to prepare for the victory against Goliath. David wasn't born one day and God said, okay, you're going to fight Goliath today. There was a preparation process, wasn't there? David was still the man when he fought Goliath that he was at a young age, but there was something that had to be built in Goliath. There was a preparation process. There was a walk that David had to go through. The Bible says that he had even faced lions and bears, and he conquered them. Well, I believe I believe that there are some of you here today that you feel like you have fought some lions and bears this past week. Am I right? I saw some hands. And so while you're fighting those lions and bears, you're saying, well, God, I don't understand why I'm fighting this thing. Why am I fighting this thing? I serve you. I do everything for you. I pay my tithes. I go to church. I help when I need to be, when I need the help, and I'm still fighting this thing. I'm fighting these lions and the bears. I don't understand. Well, you know what? David, he faced these lions and bears, and God said that he succeeded. God guarded and gave David the ability to kill the lions and bears. Why? Because it was a preparation process for Goliath. And so when the time came for David to meet Goliath, you know what? David wasn't in the back corner praying and real nervous and saying, what am I going to do, wringing his hands. He was saying, let me get at that Goliath. I'm ready to fight him. Why? Because he had already seen the hand of God here, that he was built up in the faith and trusted God so much to when he got to Goliath, he could not wait to conquer him. And so I believe that the preparation process sometimes that we refuse, the preparation process sometimes that we try to shun is the very thing that's going to prepare us for the greatest victory in our life. Y'all receive that? Some of the greatest challenges in our life, God is allowing to cause us to be stronger, to trust Him more, to say, Mike, look, if you can make it through this, then I'm going to prepare you for a greater thing. And the great, so listen, the blessing is good there, but the blessing is even bigger here. It's a process. And so in life, if we can learn to embrace those things that God is trying to do in our life rather than shun those things that we don't want to do, say, well, that's too hard for me, that's too difficult for me. Well, listen, if we learn to embrace that thing, knowing that we can trust God to be the victorious one in our life, say, God, I'm not fighting this battle alone. David knew that it wasn't him alone. If it were, then David would have lost to Goliath. But he knew that the power that he had been given was by the power of God, and he knew that he could conquer Goliath. Now, Goliath was much better probably equipped, but David was much better prepared. There was a preparation process that David went through in his spirit that Goliath did not go through. Goliath physically had the ability to kill David with one swipe. But because of the preparation process David embraced, David was able to conquer Goliath. The preparation through God's college prepares you to win over anything the devil throws at you. The preparation process of God's college. We can spend 4, 6, 8 years doing something and think we've got it all figured out. We've studied it. We've looked at it. We've drawn out the maps and the graphs, and we've got it all together. We know what we're talking about. Well, that's probably the school that Goliath went to. But David went to God's college. And he experienced some things that Goliath had never experienced. Book knowledge is good. But when you can put to practice the things that God's put in your life, there is no comparison for God's anointing and God's protection. There's nothing that can stand against it. Nothing. And so Saul even told David, he said, listen, King Saul said, he offered his armor to him, said, listen, at least put this breastplate on, at least put my boots on, and listen, you're not made to dress like somebody else. You're not made to look like somebody else. You're not made to talk like somebody else. God has made you to talk like Him. God has made me to talk like Him. And if we follow God in that, then we can be victorious in life. Why? Because we're following God and not man, not another something, not a book. You know, books are fine, but there's only one book that we should read the most. It's this one. You know, book, I'm sure there are some good books out there, but there's no book that supersedes the book of the Bible, the Word of God. So David had prepared himself before God. God had prepared some things in him. So I'm going to give you four ways to prepare for victory. Four ways to prepare for victory. Number one, rely on God's power. Rely on God's power. You cannot fight in your own strength. You can for a short time. You can for a little while. You can fight, you can swing, but you're out of breath and you're tired and you're on the floor. And so see, the enemy has done his homework, so he knows that if you fight in your own strength, he'll just stand back and just let you swing your heart out. And then when you hit the floor, then he comes in and eats your lunch. But if you're fighting in the power of God and you're fighting in the wisdom of God, you have a different outlook on the situation than what you do in the flesh. You're looking through the spirit eyes of God. Then you know when to step back, when to stand back and let God fight your battles for you. See, when God fights your battles for you, some things will happen around you that you're not even aware of that's going on. God is making some preparation things for you behind the scenes that you haven't even seen, you don't even know about. And if we have the wisdom to let God rely on God to fight those battles, we know when it's time to step back and to shut up. And you know what? God has told me sometimes, step back and shut up. And so when I do that, when I listen, it's like, well, that sounds like God speaking. I think I'm going to do that. I'm going to step back and I'm going to shut up. And so when I do that, when I step back, I'm out of the picture, and God does some things that, I mean, it's just completely unbelievable. It's unbelievable. He's moving some things and moving some things in motion and some dreams that I had. Chris and I were talking the other day, and looking back, I've always had dreams. I've always had things that I didn't know it at the time. I didn't know it was dreams at the time, but just as soon as we got married, you know, I expressed to her, I said, I've got a dream of this, I've got a dream of that. You know, I think my first goal when we first got married, we were at Westminster Apartments in a one-bedroom apartment. All we could do to pay $400 a month for that apartment in 1985. But immediately, God put on my heart, I want a brick house with a fenced-in backyard with a dog. You say, well, that's silly. Really? For me and Crystal, that was my dream. And within, what did you say yesterday? It was within 2.5 years it happened. God unfolded that. We were in that house for 10 years. We were sitting in Sonny's one day, and I said, honey, I think it's time for us to buy another house. So we had been married at that time 12 and a half years, maybe, 12 years. And so we were sitting in Sonny's. I grabbed a book going in, and she always hates to see me do that. So I grabbed a book going in. We were eating lunch and opened up the book, and there's this beautiful white house sitting kind of on a hill with sprinklers going. And she said, isn't that pretty? I said, it is. I said, do you like that? She said, yeah, I like that. I said, I'm going to check on it. She said, no, honey, we can't check. We can't do that. I said, do you like it? She said, yeah. I said, well, I'm going to check on it. And so me and my, whatever you want to call it, I immediately contacted the realtor. And he said, you want to look at it? I said, yes. Of course, Crystal is just shaking. She's, I can't believe we're doing this. We went and looked at it. I said, do you like it? She said, yes. Now, I didn't have the ability to do jack. I couldn't do anything. I said, well, first thing we've got to do is sell our house. So I happened to mention it to a lady. She and her husband were looking for a house. Happened to mention her. She said, well, this is exactly what we're looking for. Can we come look at it tomorrow afternoon? I said, yes. She came and looked at it, and we sold the house just like that. As far as I know, they're still in that house. We bought the house. We closed on it. And it's just been, see, God cares about your goals. God cares about what you want in life. But the first thing we've got to do is to rely on God's power. Do you want God to bring some impossible situations in your life? Let him do the work. Rely on his power to do those things. As we just read, submit to God, resist the devil, he'll flee. The second thing we've got to do to prepare for victory is allow God to prepare you. Allow God to prepare you. Now, I'm not going to take the time for the next 5 or 6 hours because I'll cause you to miss lunch. To tell you the times that I failed, that I didn't allow God to prepare me. So there were times that I took matters in my own hands and I thought that I would do things because, God, you're busy with Joe and Jane out here, and so I'm going to take things and I can do it better and I can get it done quicker. Has anybody ever said that? And so I've learned that, well, maybe it would be better to let God handle things. But we've got to allow God to prepare us, allow God to prepare the way for us, and when we do, he'll bless us. Why? Because we're relying on him. It's not like that there's not anything for you to do. There is a place for you to step in and to do your part. But there's also a step to where you've got to allow God to prepare you and to do what he's called you to do. Be strong in the Lord in the power of his might, Ephesians 6:10 says. In the power of his might, in his abilities. His abilities, again, are unlimited. The devil wants to trip you up. We've got an adversary that wants to cause you to do things against God's will, but we've got to learn to listen to God. The third thing, we've got to take action. We've got to take action. The Bible says that without works, faith is dead. So we can have faith, but there's a point that we've got to stretch our faith. We've got to step out and allow God to cause us to step out. Now, we know at that moment that it's not us. We know at that moment that I can't do this without God directing me. So there comes a time that we've got to take action. And fourth, we've got to follow through. We've got to follow through. How many know growing is painful? Whether it's spiritually, whether it's physically. We watch a little Bailey, 3.5 years old. And so, in my eyes, perfect little Bailey. She's pre-Maddox. So she's growing, she's doing great. And now all of a sudden Maddox comes into the world. And so I sit back and watch Bailey interact with Maddox. And she's amazing. She's done wonderful. If her mama needs to change a diaper on Maddox, Bailey already has a clean diaper and the wipes right there before Jordan can turn around. But in that process, I see Bailey growing in ways that I didn't see her before Maddox came. So now that Maddox is there, Bailey's doing things that she wasn't doing before. It was just Bailey, mom, and dad. Now it's Bailey, mom, and dad, and Maddox. So she's now a big sister. And so Bailey, you know, I know she's young, but she could make one of two choices. Either she could do what she's doing and help mama and to be there and love him and to take care of him and do her part as a big sister, or she could shun that and say, I want some attention. Maddox is getting my attention, and before he got along, came along here, I was getting all the attention. I could play with mom and dad anytime I wanted to. So growing is painful. And so we as Christ's children, we've got to learn that we've got to follow through even when growing is hard. So I've heard people say to me, Pastor Mike, I feel like God wants me to do this, but I'm too scared to do it. And so my reply is, well, why don't you do it anyway? So, well, I'm thinking about it, maybe. So we've got to understand that we've got to embrace that thing as God bringing in our life, to know that we have to grow through some things sometimes. We have to push through and follow through in that it requires change in us. Maturing can be difficult, right? When you go from middle school to high school, from high school to college to the first job, y'all remember that? It's kind of scary, isn't it, one? You kind of get a little scared. You get knots in your stomach. You say, well, this is something I haven't done before, and I'm scared. And so we've got to follow through. I believe that God wants to bring us to a place of victory as we follow through. As we say, God, you're giving me the power, you're giving me the victory to do this thing that you have called me to do. To avoid the fight is to avoid the victory. To avoid the fight is to avoid the victory. See, there's a victory waiting on us, but we've got to push through. We've got to fight. Not in our own strength, but in the power of God. He wants you to be victorious. Tomorrow when you get up, the things that you're regretting right this moment, there may be something you're facing this week that, oh my goodness, I'm just dreading that moment. I'm dreading having to do that thing. But listen, you can face that thing with confidence that God is with you. And I believe with you that as you face that thing, you'll face it and embrace God in it, and you'll say, you know what? That was so much better than I expected. That was so much better than what I thought it was going to be. Why? Because God was with you and he was opening doors that you couldn't see. Because God knew in your heart that you're trusting him to do the work and not yourself. Every battle is won before the battle is fought. Every battle is won before the battle is fought. Why? Because we're prepared for the battle that we face. I don't know of the qualifications for a SEAL, for a Navy SEAL. We see those guys and see how brave they are and how they just, I mean, they just eat adrenaline like we eat M&Ms. I mean, they're loving it. But the process to get to that point, I don't know what that is, but think of that as you being a great and mighty warrior for God. You're going through the process. So we can't be a Navy SEAL tomorrow morning. I'm going to be a Navy SEAL and think that we're qualified to do that. We are qualified because we're God's children, but there's a process that God wants to take us to get rid of the Goliaths in our life, that he's bringing us through the process to do just that. And you can do it. You can do it. You can. The battles that you're facing, the battles that are taking your victory in your time, God wants you to know today that you can conquer that thing once and for all. Not to let it get to you anymore. Come on, Wendy. That you can conquer that thing and that you can allow him to live through you and in you, that you can succeed and overcome and conquer anything in your life. Do you believe that this morning? Amen. Let's stand together. If you're here today, you say, I just don't feel prepared. I just don't feel like that. Is there a mute button back there? Feel like that, that maybe you're either undeserving of God's power or that you don't qualify for God's power. I feel like there's some here today that need to know that God loves you, that need to know that God has a plan for you. We've sung about it this morning. We've sung of the greatness of God. We've sung of the faithfulness of God this morning. He is great. Maybe we need to plug some of these songs in this week and get our hearts focused on this and believe this. Believe what we're singing. Music is important. The word is important, whether we sing it or whether we read it, whether we pray it, whether we shout it. The word of God is important. And you may be here this morning and you're tired of fighting. You don't have strength to fight anymore. I'm going to ask you to just come and stand right here in front of me. Just stand right here. We'll pray together in just a moment. If you feel like you fought until you can't fight anymore, come stand right here with me. You feel like your strength is gone? Feel like you're tapped out? You feel like God is maybe nowhere around? Feel like you're on your own? Or maybe you just need prayer this morning. Maybe you just need prayer and say, I just need prayer. I need prayer to face the things that I've got to face this week. Maybe there's a situation in your life that's bigger than you are. You know what? It's not bigger than God. No matter what you face, it is not bigger than God. God is bigger than anything you face, today or tomorrow, next week, next month. Chris and I have been talking to some people that they feel like the decisions they've got to make are just bigger than them. They feel like the decisions that they're pressed into is just impossible. They don't ever think it's going to get better. Why? Because it's been one way so long and it's just not going to get any better. Listen, God wants to teach us something through those hard times. God wants to teach us that he's greater than that situation that we think will never change. And by you taking a step of faith this morning, you're saying, God, I'm here. I need your spirit. I need your power. I need to be victorious. If that's you, come on, stand with me. I want to assure you right now that God is greater than anything you face. There is nothing that God will not do for you. Let's raise our hands to the Lord this morning. Lord God, you see every need. You see every heart this morning. You see every single one. You see every situation. You know the backstory, the current story, and the future story. And God, you saying that you said in your word that you came to give life and life more abundantly. God, that doesn't exclude anything. But Lord, that includes those who follow you. That includes the people that want to serve you, God. And Lord, I believe that these standing before me today, they want to see your hand at work in their life. Lord, I pray that we'll stop listening to the lies of the devil. We'll stop listening to half-truth or untruth. But God, we'll learn to focus on you. How great you are. How great you are. How great you are. Wendy, if you will, sing a chorus of that. I want us to stand in the presence of God right here for just a few moments.